Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "Who are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so that we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friends, the reading from St. John's first letter makes it very clear that the gospel is not something that we reinvent in every generation or that we reinvent each year. Our Christian journey is a matter of, and the word appears so many times in this reading, remaining in Him. We've been given the absolute revelation of God. It doesn't get any better than Jesus. Now, of course, in heaven, He will show us things that He has not shown us yet. At His second coming, we will learn things that have not yet been revealed. But everything that has been revealed by Jesus Christ about the Father and about how to abide in Him in salvation, how to achieve victory over sin and death, what is right and what is wrong in life, everything that has been revealed is absolutely true and unchangeable. It is not something that we are looking to improve upon. We're always looking to improve our understanding of the gospel. We're always looking to improve the way we live out and apply the gospel, but we don't look to improve the gospel. We don't look to improve the message. Because there is no such thing. That would be blasphemy about God. It's like saying we're looking to improve God. And that's why the message here is remain in Him. Be faithful to what you have heard from the beginning. Let what you have heard from the beginning, because what was told us from the beginning is what Jesus Christ came to reveal to us. Let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. Don't let anybody else take it away. And people take it away either by trying to present us with a false gospel, which we must resist with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's part of loving God, is remaining, letting this truth and His word remain in us. But they also try to take it away from us by making it seem less important, less urgent, less of a priority than other things. Or they try to take it away from us by taking away the zeal and the excitement, by making the faith and living out the gospel and the word of God some kind of blasé, boring thing. We have to be careful of that as well as of an outright false teaching. We have to be also careful about this cooling down of the zeal and the zest of the gospel, the vigor with which we must be proclaiming and defending it. Let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. See, these kinds of themes are so appropriate for these days of the Christmas season, because what the church is doing is saying, look, you've welcomed the child born in Bethlehem. You've welcomed the baby laid in the manger. Well, here's what it means to welcome Him each day. Unpack your Christmas gift delve into the teachings that this child taught as he grew up, as he began his public ministry, as he gave the Sermon on the Mount, as he told the parables, as he did the miracles, which were always pointers back to faith in him. Unpack all these gifts and be faithful to them. Celebrating Christmas year after year is for this purpose, isn't it? It's not for, I mean, Jesus doesn't, we don't pretend that he didn't come. We always welcome more of him, but it's not like he didn't come. We know he came. We celebrate Christmas year after year so that we can remain in him and make sure that the very teachings that he came to bring are always alive and clear, and we don't let them get diluted or distorted or contradicted. This is the message. Now, the teaching that he has given us remains in us not just because we remember it, and hopefully because every choice that we make, we're striving to live it, but also because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And this is where we have an anchoring. The Spirit, Jesus said, is the Spirit of truth, who will teach you all that I have, remind you of all that I have taught to you, and he will teach you all truth. The Spirit is our teacher. So much so that we are capable of understanding when somebody else is telling us a false gospel. Remember what Jesus said about himself being the shepherd. My sheep know my voice. And this, of course, is what the shepherds of Jesus' time also knew, that their sheep would learn their voice, and they would not follow, as Jesus said, the voice of a stranger. So we have a what it's called the sensus fidelium. It's the awareness, the knowledge that the faithful, those who are faithful to Christ, have of his gospel. We've learned it. We've understood it. We've had the joy of living it. And we have the Holy Spirit within us and among us in the Christian community to keep us faithful to it. Somebody comes along and teaches something that's contrary to the gospel of Christ. You know, if you've been living in his Spirit, you're gonna recognize that. You're going to know that. Alarms are going to go off in your mind. And if it's something that, you know, error is very, very subtle many times, and sometimes false teachers will be very clever and make what they are saying sound like the gospel. But nevertheless, those who are faithful, you're going to feel a little bit funny about it. It's going to be like, that doesn't quite sound right. Pay attention to that reaction within you, because this is what the Spirit does. Now, John goes on to say here in a verse that we have to be careful not to misunderstand. He says, you have the anointing. Okay, remember, when you were baptized, you were anointed, anointing Christ and Messiah. Those words mean anointed one. You are anointed as well in Christ. And he says, this anointing teaches you. And you have no need for anyone else to teach you. Now, that doesn't mean that he's throwing away Christian ministry and the fact that we do hand on the gospel to one another. Otherwise, he wouldn't be writing the letter, right? Here he is writing, and he's teaching them, and he says, you have no need for anyone to teach you. Well, he doesn't mean in an absolute sense that now, you know, we don't have Christian teachers and preachers and evangelists anymore. No, John is teaching them right then and there, but he's reminding us that when it comes to the faithfulness to the gospel, we have the Spirit within us who teaches us all truth. We need, as St. Paul will explain in his letters, you know, teaching, the gift of teaching is indeed a gift from the Lord, equipping the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. So, of course, we have teachers. Jesus sent them out. He who hears you hears me, right? He sent out the apostles. Before he ascended, he said, go and teach all nations everything I have commanded you. So, obviously, you know, every verse of Scripture we have to read in the light of all the other ones together, because God doesn't contradict himself. The word doesn't contradict the word. We have to help all the different parts of the word understand all the other parts. So, of course, we have teachers. But here's the distinction here that John is making when he says you have no need of anyone to teach you. There are some religions that believe that there are elite groups of people within that religion to whom God has given certain secrets that the rest of the faithful are not supposed to know, and that they can only know from those select few people at the top, you know, in the higher echelons. That's not the case with us. Any revered, famous Christian pastor, or you look at the Catholic Church, you know, we have the Pope and the bishops and the priests and everything, or, you know, evangelists in various other denominations. And, of course, we had for many years Billy Graham, and now his son, Franklin Graham. And these are highly respected teachers of the Word of God. They don't have any more books of the Bible than you do. The Pope doesn't have any more pages of the Catechism than you and I do. See, the beautiful thing about the gospel and the Christian teaching is it's wide open for everybody to know. Nobody's holding on to secret parts of the gospel within the Christian community. And this is one of the distinctions being made here. You have no need for anyone to teach you. In other words, you don't have to rely on getting initiated into some special knowledge that you don't have. No, the whole idea is that God and the Spirit, who has anointed you, and the church and the Christian community and the pastors and the preachers, they want to give it to you all right now. Because it's a beautiful gospel of truth that's been open wide for all of us, and that's our Christmas gift. That's what the child has brought. So no, this is not some kind of elitist religion. This is not some kind of secrecy. In fact, we read in, let me go to a beautiful passage back in Deuteronomy in the 30th chapter that's talking about the same thing that St. John is saying here when he says, you have the teaching within you, you have the anointing, the Spirit of truth is teaching you every day. Listen to what Moses said in Deuteronomy. For this command, which I enjoin on you today, is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out. Nor is it across the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea and get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out. No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out. That's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 to 14. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. And now we can say, the Spirit is in you, on your lips and in your heart. You have been made according to the word of God, and now you have been filled with his Spirit, thanks to the Christ who came at Christmas. And it is our joy to continue to be faithful to that word. Let it remain in you, and you in it, because that word is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we welcome him this Christmas season. Let us rejoice. Come, let us adore him. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.